God bless you and thank you for joining us for this episode of This Present Truth. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland, and we're so delighted that you could join us today. We pray that you would open your hearts and ask God for a listening ear as we go into the Word of God for this week's episode. May God bless you as you listen. Amen. Praise God. We thank God for all of you that are joining us. This Present Truth is on the air. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland. Let's pray together. Father, how we thank and bless you for every opportunity we have to share the Word of God. I pray today, Lord, that you would open our understanding concerning the new creation. This study, Lord, that we've engaged in, we believe that you will share more insight with us concerning this topic out of the Scripture. Give us an unction from the Holy One and an utterance that only you can give. Thank you, precious Lord. Open the heart of each listener. This may be something that they haven't heard in this context before, but I pray that you would give us clarity and insight as only you can. Thank you, Lord. We love your word and we give you praise that the Holy Spirit is imparting insight in this area. Thank you, Father God, for hearing us, for we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank God for you that are joining us for this episode of This Present Truth. Would you open your Bibles or get your devices out? Let's look at Galatians chapter 6. We've begun discussing this particular topic called the new creation. And we looked at the last time we were together the importance of what Jesus did on the cross. The cross is the beginning place for each child of God to make that exchange. I lay down my life to receive Christ's life. It's not in church. It's not through some experience, some epiphany that we've had. It's the grace of God that convicts the human heart and lowers it to where we willingly allow Christ to come in by invitation only and secure our life as we lay it down. Galatians chapter 6 begins to point out something very important regarding this new creation and the life that it bears. Galatians chapter 6, I'll start reading at verse 14. I'm reading out of the New King James Version, and we'll consider some other versions of the Bible. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14 in the New King James says, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything," notice, "but a new creation." Notice what doesn't avail anything: circumcision nor uncircumcision. Now, this was critical because in this region where there were not just one church in Galatia, Galatia was made up of many small churches, they were being bombarded with false teaching concerning the circumcision. That's why Galatians, by so many theologians, is considered the Magna Carta, because the liberty needed to understand your freedom in Christ flows out of this book completely. Paul is addressing in this final part of the letter one of the most important prerequisites to the Christian life, the new creation. Notice, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything." But what avails? A new creation. and as many as walk according to this rule. Man, listen to the Bible. Peace and mercy be upon him, upon them, and upon the Israel of God. The Israel of God. This is the spiritual Israel of God. Notice, brothers and sisters, that circumcision nor uncircumcision doesn't avail anything. Let me just read this in another translation. He says, for neither circumcision now of any importance, nor uncircumcision, but only a new creation. Notice what the Amplified Bible says, the result of a new birth and a new nature in Christ Jesus, the Messiah. Peace and mercy be upon all who walk by this rule, who discipline themselves and regulate their lives by this principle. What I want you to notice out of this passage, brothers and sisters, is that the new creation is a principle of life. This is how every child of God is supposed to live. Now, we came up in a generation where it was just about being saved. You know, were you saved or you weren't saved? And for us, you were saved because you confess with your mouth and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you saved. But you know what was omitted out of that equation? The life that we're actually supposed to live. It's one thing to say you saved, but if you don't live a saved life, then are you saved? We're saying something happened that changed the condition of our heart to where we gave Christ our life and we came to a saving knowledge. We got saved in that sense. But it wasn't just the confession and just what we did at a youth fellowship. That was the entry point into what God begun. But the issue is the life that Christ came to give us. Now, brothers and sisters, there are character traits that we'll look at concerning this new creation, because when you look at those who say they know God today, what we see out of the scripture concerning the new creation, we don't see in the lives of many who say they're Christian. That's the unfortunate thing. And it is very possible that every disciple is a believer, but every believer is not a disciple. So discipleship in the lives of many who came to know Christ was omitted, non-existent. So you were forced to learn about Christ's life on your own without an example in front of you. Or maybe there was an example in front of you, but it wasn't a godly example. It was someone struggling with their own relationship with God, someone struggling in the flesh, and someone who was telling us that, hey, a struggle in the flesh is just something that you'll have to live with for the rest of your life. That's what we were told in so many words when we were in a part of a youth fellowship. We didn't learn how to deal with Mr. Flesh. We were just told about it, but nobody said, this is how you deal with it. So we didn't have a clear understanding of what Jesus did for us on the cross. On the cross, he broke the power of sin. On the cross, we come into an understanding of the new creation, where this new life in Christ begins. I want you to see here that Paul says that something happened to him that brought about this new creation. He says, I have surrendered my life to Christ to the point where he says, I'm only going to boast in the cross, verse 14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Now, this is important because he's dealing with the circumcision. And the circumcision are those who didn't understand the reality of the cross. So they were saying, no, that belief is not valid. You have to be circumcised. And they even had it traced back to the Abrahamic covenant, where that's where that part of the law began, where you needed to be circumcised to be identified as a child of God. In Christ, the circumcision is that of the heart. There isn't a physical circumcision that's needed to determine whether or not you've accepted Christ. However, has your heart been circumcised? That's the issue. Paul is saying, I'm only boasting in the cross because I've been crucified to the world. I want you to see what happened to him. There were two issues that he's bringing out here that are critical. He says, by whom the world has been crucified to me, number one, and number two, I've been crucified to the world. That's twofold. There's a duality there. I'm not allowing the world's influence to corrupt me, and I'm not allowing my life to be influenced anymore by the world system. There's two issues. It's a double-sided coin. Paul said, I'm boasting in the cross. By whom? By whom? It's the cross that gives me the ability to say, the world has been crucified to me. The world can no longer influence me any longer because I've been crucified with Christ. Secondly, I to the world. Now, brothers and sisters, this Galatians verse dealt with the I in chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me, so that the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I has been dealt with. As a matter of fact, I has been bent. It's now a C. I has been crucified. The Greek word for I is ego, E-G-O. Ego, the I in me, has been crucified with Christ. How do you know, Pastor Mark, that I has been crucified? Because I am no longer living. Then who's living? Christ is living. He's living his life, but he's living it through me now. So here's the issue that people have as it relates to living for God. We don't understand this revelatory concept, I'll say. We understand it from a church perspective, but God needs to give us insight. God needs to give us revelation. Paul said, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed. Behold, the new has come. For so many, they never saw the new because the old was never past. They never died, even though in Christ they died. You understand? So Christ may have accomplished something, but you have to appropriate it and enter into it. How many of us have actually done that and are no longer struggling with the Adamic nature? Not many of us. I wish I would have understood this when I was young. It would have saved me years of heartache trying to deal with Mr. Flesh on my own and not knowing he died, that the old me died, that when Christ was crucified, I was crucified with him. I know we know this verse, but do you know what really happened to you, my brother, my sister? Does the world still have a pull? See, what we did is we dragged that old life into church and asked God to help us instead of evacuating that old life, then coming to Christ in the new creation. This aspect of our salvation experience for so many has been omitted, and we struggle. And I dare say, without this understanding, the next generation behind us are going to struggle like we did, because we're probably telling them the same thing. Man, you can't do nothing about that flesh, man. You just got to, you know, deal with it. We all got our issues. We all got to deal with it. No, it's been dealt with. Maybe you just didn't know. Man of God, woman of God, do you know? Can you pass this on to your congregants? That the new creation is the answer to new life in Christ. That without the new creation, there's no new life. How many of us really understand this aspect? It's why we don't understand when we see people who say they're saved, mess around. We see pastors dog people out. We see all kind of stuff in our world in the name of Christian. In the name of Christ. Then we say, well, you know, they got issues. Everybody got issues. But Jesus didn't have no issues. We see some issues that the apostles had. But after they got filled with the Holy Spirit, we don't see them wrestling and struggling with issues in the flesh. We don't see that. There were some. Peter had some issues with the Jews as opposed to, you know, the way he was with the Gentiles. Paul confronted him about it. But I mean, like, we didn't see where they struggled in the flesh like we struggle today, many of us. It's because this issue of the new creation has been omitted completely in our understanding. I want us to come back to these verses, brothers and sisters, because these verses point out a life that many of us have yet to see. Whether in church or out of church. We're talking about rewiring and doing all this stuff. You can't rewire the flesh. It's already set in your nature at birth. If a person is never born again, they can't do anything to change their nature. You can have a motivational speaker in your life. You can have a life coach, a mentor. They cannot change your nature. Only the word of God can change your nature. My brother, my sister, the Quran, no other book. You might find a book that's older than the Bible. You might think there's errors in the Bible. But let me tell you this. The Bible gives the only prescription for dealing with the old man, the Adamic nature, Mr. Flesh. He gives the prescription. You might not like the book, but you better read what it says about it, because it gives a clear understanding to us about the new creation. He says in verse 15, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. Notice, circumcision, whether a person is circumcised or uncircumcised, in Christ, it doesn't avail. It's of no issue. But what avails in Christ Jesus? A new creation. Here it is, verse 15. In the Amplified, it says, for neither is circumcision now of any importance, nor uncircumcision, but only a new creation. The Amplified goes further, the result of a new birth and a new nature in Christ Jesus, the Messiah. So this new creation comes complete with a new birth and a new nature. Now, that's something that you can't do, my brother, my sister. It don't matter what church you go to, who your pastor is. Giving the preacher your hand and God your heart don't change this. Hoping and all this, ain't he all right? Don't give you a new nature. It don't give you the new birth. It's religion. My brother, my sister, this is something that we can't ignore. No wonder we don't see people bearing the very image of Christ, because they're not new creation people. They know very little of the new creation life. They might know how to get saved, commendable, but can't teach you how to live the new creation life after you come into a saving knowledge. Thank God for being saved. If something has happened to you, even if something has, are you new? It's funny, we were just reading this verse. We have a Saturday Bible study, and we were just reading this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's familiar to all of us, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's read it real quick. I want to read it in the Living Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And you know, it's the, you know, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. We'll start reading at verse New King James. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And verse 15, he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves. I'm used to the King James saying henceforth. That those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let me read this in the Living Bible, because there's something that's brought out here that I want to highlight as we prepare to close this episode. Verse 17 says in the Living Bible, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. That's what verse 17 says in the Living Bible. When someone becomes a Christian, if any man be in Christ, he becomes a brand new person inside. A brand new person on the inside. He's not the same person. This is the caveats that many have used, that they go to church, but they're no different. They hated people in high school. They hate people in college. They hate people now. But just that they're a deacon in a church, or they pastor. But what about that issue? It didn't go away. That's not Christ. That's part of the old life. So now there's a mixture. And we can't tell the difference. We hear people saying they're saved, but they fornicate. We hear people say they know God, but they're in relationships with ungodly people or the same sex or whatever. But you said you were saved. You said that you had Christ's life. How is it contrary to your life? That's my point. Many say one thing, but their life doesn't bear that that's who they are. Who you are is not based on what you said. It's how you live. It's how you live your life. He said, when someone becomes a Christian, he's a brand new person on the inside. Are you new on the inside, my brother? Are you the same person you were a few years ago? Every year you have a new mantra or a new saying, whatever. I'm different. I'm different. I'm a millionaire. I'm a millionaire. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm this. I'm this. But it's still not coming to pass. You're still the same old hateful people that hold people hostage and don't know how to forgive and all this other stuff. Don't you think there's something wrong with the life that you're portraying that's not connecting to what you're saying? There's too many people like that in the world. They're going to church tomorrow. They're saying they know God, but when you look at their life, it doesn't exemplify a Christ that's living. Well, I want to stop here because I want us to pray. This new creation and our understanding is going to bring us into something that we're going to examine again. You go back and study that passage in Galatians very carefully. What you'll see is that the new creation is a rule. It's a standard of living. It's a principle of life. Christ is. Jesus is a way to live. Not just a belief. We've turned it into that. But Jesus didn't die to just give us a belief. He died to give us his life. He even said it in John 10:10, I have come not that you might have church more abundantly, but that you might have life and life more abundantly. Can I ask in closing, my brother, my sister, what do you have? Just a good old fashioned religion? It don't help you when you get in trouble, though, does it? No, religion mocks you when you get in trouble. Religion even says, what are you doing in trouble? You're supposed to be on top. We know that that's not the life Christ gave us. We see what he went through. We see what the apostles went through. They came back to the company and they were glad that they were able to suffer shame for his name. They were happy about the suffering. Look at how some of us are. If we go through anything, we let everybody know, I'm going through this, I'm doing this, man, y'all pray for me, I'm going through again. I know some people are always going through, and it shows that they never come out. That means you don't have the victorious life. The character trait for Christ's life is the overcomer. He overcame. He overcame. Whatever it was that came, he overcame. And he says, to them that overcome will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Are you overcoming, my brother, my sister? Are you underachieving? You need a mantra every morning. You need a life coach to help you because you're depressed and down and going through. That's not the life of Christ. That's not the life that Jesus gave us. It's not a defeated life. It's a victorious life. It overcomes. It's not a life that's constantly talking about what's wrong and, you know, mental health is real and pray my strength. It's not a pray for me life. It's not. That's the Christianity that you made up. But that's not Christ's life. Christ's life is an overcoming life. I want to stop here long enough to pray for those of you that are on today. Maybe, you know, you all mixed up about church. Church just messes up the minds of people that don't know God and the Bible. Church will mess you up, my brother. And I know because I've been messed up for years by religion, by what other people are saying. That's why I just dove into the scripture and started understanding as the Lord helped me and then connected with the ministry that's teaching the truth, my God. And I'm loving it. I'm coming out of what I didn't understand, out of that darkness, into the marvelous light of this life, this new life in Christ, this new creation. I'm so grateful to the Lord for opening my eyes. I have waved goodbye to religion. Y'all can have it. And all the people to come, and you can have it. What's unfortunate is that all the people that are coming, you have nothing to give them but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What does that accomplish? How's that working out for you? It's a frustrating labor to labor over the lives of people that are not born again. My brother, my sister, won't you pause today and get it right? Come back to the cross. Stop playing church and playing religion and you don't even know what it's all about. Singing about a Jesus you've never met. Giving to a God who doesn't even accept what you bring. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will help us as we're taking time to share this understanding, Lord, as you have given it to us. Lord, we're grateful that you brought us so many years ago into this understanding about the new creation. At the cross, you broke the power of sin over Adam and the Adamic nature and exchanged that life for the new creation. It was an exchange, Lord. The fall of man in the garden contaminated the life of every person born of a woman. But what Jesus did, he came and offered us the very life of God, Christ's life, having died and resurrected and left it as an inheritance to those that will believe. Lord, I believe. I believe that what you came to give us, I have received as an inheritance, and the adoption and all the paperwork associated with it, the Holy Spirit has come into my heart to bring the Spirit of the Son, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Lord, I just want to thank you for what you've done in Christ. You did it so that we could leave this old fleshly life that doesn't amount to anything and receive the new creation. Thank you, precious Lord. I pray for each person that was listening today that you bring us into this understanding, Lord. We need to understand the new creation. Many are just hopping from church to church, looking for something that they don't even know what they're looking for, leaving a trail of uncertainty and unbelief in their path because the truth hasn't been found. I pray, Father God, that they would discover you, Jesus the Christ. You said you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. No man comes unto the Father except by you. I pray that you help these today that are listening. Father, that you turn our hearts back to you, especially those of us who know that what we had in religion wasn't working. And we kept asking ourselves, God, is this all there is? There's got to be more than the struggle of this and that. And oh, God, it's so frustrating. Bring us into an understanding of the new creation so that we can discover out of the Word of God what you died to give us. Thank you, precious Lord. I'm trusting you do this with every one of these who is listening to this broadcast, and that you continue to expand our understanding by the power of your word. Holy Spirit, if you don't open this up to us, we won't ever discover the reality of what Jesus did. So thank you today for opening this up to us, and we pray that you will continue to do so. In Jesus' precious and wonderful name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next time on This Present Truth.